insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to yet another of our programs. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to benefit from a few more of the verses of the Holy Quran. First, let's hear the verses.
وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ.
As you probably know, we arrived at verse 55. Let me remind the listeners that these verses are amongst a series of verses which began with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the children of Israel, or the Jewish tribes in Medina, telling them that they should remember or be reminded of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. The special blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, I gave you things that I didn't give other people. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to tell us what some of these blessings are. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this and the next verse together is one blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has on these people. It starts with وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. In the next verse, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And when you said, O Moses, we will not believe you until we see Allah or God visibly. Thereupon a thunderbolt seized you as you looked on. Then we raised you up after your death so that you might give thanks. The Jewish tribe, after having seen all the signs that Prophet Musa had showed them, after having believed, after having been freed from Pharaoh and his tribe, it seems like a group of these people started questioning their faith again, and they said, no, we will not believe in God. The only way that we would come to believe in God would be that you show him to us where we can see him with our eyes, so we can see him with our physical eyes. So this was a request that the people, the Jewish tribe, made to Prophet Musa, that we want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only way that we would believe in him. Now Prophet Musa was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, take these people to a certain place. Apparently there was a mountain around there as well. When they arrived there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these 70 people, apparently according to narrations, that were taken by or with Prophet Musa, at that point when they arrived there and they repeated their request, a thunderbolt came where they could see, and when that thunderbolt came, it actually killed these people. That was a punishment for them. They had seen, again, I want to, for those who have listened to the previous sessions, they know that we've repeated this on numerous occasions, that and again at the beginning of this session, that this verse is after, it's talking about after all of what they have seen. They've seen the signs, they've seen Moses split the seas, they've seen him give Pharaoh and his tribe loads of signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs that are absolutely extraordinary, and there are things that when you see, when people see, they realize that this is not something normal, and it's been planned, and Prophet Musa actually warned them and told them and actually promised them beforehand that this was going to be happening at this time. So when you have that combination all put together and all these signs put together, there's no doubt left for anyone that has a rational and logical intellect to realize that there's something that exists that is causing all of this, and that is communicating through his Prophet Musa. They should be believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all of that, again they turn back and say, no, we will not believe. We will not believe in God unless he shows himself to us, or you show him to us, so that we can see him with our eyes, with our physical eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not physical. There's nothing physical about him. He does not have mass. He doesn't have any dimensions. There's no way that would be possible for him to be seen with something that can only, you know, our eyes can only, they use the frequencies, the wave frequencies that we consider light. Even from the physical frequencies, from the frequencies that exist in this physical world, not all of them can actually be seen with our eyes. There's a lot of, you know, infrared cannot be seen with our eyes, and also ultraviolet cannot be seen. All those other wavelengths cannot be seen with our eyes. We all know this through physics now. We actually know that other things exist today. Back in the old days, they didn't know any of that existed. Now we know that not even all of what is physical, what is in this universe, can be seen with our eyes. There's loads of things that cannot be seen. The waves, the frequencies that are actually sound that our ears can grasp and we can hear. We cannot see those things. There's loads of things that we cannot see at all. So even in this physical world, we cannot see a lot of things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just not bound by any type of dimensions or has any physical dimensions. He is not physical. There's nothing physical about God. So it's just absolutely impossible for them to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make this request to see God and they get the punishment. Say, you've been given every tangible sign that is possible, that would be reasonably an explanation for the existence of God, and you, after seeing all of that, are denying it and saying, no, I will only believe if I see it with my eyes. This is where the punishment comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them with the thunderbolt, and they die. After they die, Prophet Musa, which was with them, he's in that same scene as well. He's probably injured or, you know, is kind of shocked. Well, when he gets up and sees the 70 people that have come with him are all dead, he requests Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, oh Allah, these people came with me. They trusted me. The people, my people, the tribes have trusted me. If I go back and these people are not with me and these people are dead, then what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be in trouble. People are not going to believe. Please, he started begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring these people back to life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Then we raised you up after your death so that you might give thanks. This is the blessing that is reminded to the children of Israel, a famous story that they also have and they knew about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them and says, look, this is the situation. You deserved, these people of yours, these heads of your tribes deserved death, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them life again after death. Now, there's a couple points in this verse that I'd like to emphasize on. The first point that I will get to emphasize in this session, we'll leave the second one for the next one, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out something very important in this verse. There's a lot of people that have a problem with believing in things that do not or cannot be seen or actually felt in any way with our senses, with our five senses. This is flawed. This assumption that we can only believe in things that we have tangible and sensible evidence of its existence is flawed. Because we don't only have our senses, to our five senses, to actually come to know things. We have other means of understanding. We have other channels of understanding. One of those is the intellect. There's a lot of things in this universe, in the physical aspect of the universe, that we can't really physically sense. There's no way you can sense it. For example, there's something that every single logical and rational-minded person is going to believe in this universe, and that is the issue of cause and effect. Cause and effect. There's a lot of things that exist, and they have a cause. Before their cause came into existence, they did not exist. If you want to have an engine to run, you have to have all the components of the engine in place, in the right, with the right amount of oxygen and fuel put in that engine, and then you have all the other components, then you're going to have a spark, and a bunch of these sparks put together is going to make the car move. Now, can anyone show me what in this relationship can we say is the cause? How can we sense that this is the cause? It is a rational understanding that we have of this relationship. That relationship can actually not be sensed. None of our senses can sense this relationship. It is a rational understanding of this. We see that, okay, when these components come together, this happens. When fuel, oxygen, and heat come together, you have fire, okay, or you have an explosion. This relationship between the existence of these components together with these conditions resulting in something, this is called the relationship of cause and effect. Now, nothing's sensible with the five senses in this. The only thing that we have is the components that we can sense. And after the result is there, we can sense the result. But where? How do we understand that relationship? That's something that we understand with the intellect. That's nothing that you can understand. Yes, the components of this understanding, are physical. They are tangible. We understand those the components. We see them. We hear them. We can feel them. We can do all of that, but that relationship we cannot feel. We cannot see that relationship. The only thing we see is the combination of those components and then the fire taking place. That's all we see. The deductive reasoning that, okay, this is the cause of that, and then we take another bunch of components and put it together to see another fire taking place, and concluding that every time you have this, is general principle, when you have fuel, oxygen, and heat, you're going to have a fire, a flame, Okay, this is deductive reasoning. That's the understanding that we come to through our intellect, not through physical understanding, not through physical means. Now, this is only one of the other ways of us understanding things. So for us to limit our understanding, say, oh, the only thing that I can believe in are things that I can see or feel with my five senses, is logically flawed. And we are told in the Holy Quran that we should believe in things that cannot be seen. And as I said, that's only logical. If you remember, one of the beginning verses of Surah Baqarah was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the muttaqeen as being those who believe in the unseen. They have come to the correct and valid conclusion that there are things that cannot be seen, and they're going to be believing in those. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to come to this correct understanding about the universe. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand the Holy Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
La ilaha illallah al-malikul haqqul mubin. La ilaha illallah al-malikul haqqul mubin.